celebrate America's independence with First Conservative Baptist Church, Sunday, July 3rd, with the Pickering Family Singers. It all starts at 10 a.m. with the Pickering Family Singers in concert. The concert is followed by a message from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Then it's an old-fashioned barbecue with pork, chicken, and all the fixings on the church grounds. Everything is free. First Conservative Baptist Church is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Congressman Mike Hill today. Mike Hill is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida, now candidate for that same office. And we're delighted that Mike has taken a stand and continues to take the stand for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property, as the words initially were. We're delighted that Mike is with us on the broadcast today. We're talking about, I have been talking about just before the news break, about the Roe versus Wade being overturned. After 50 years of genocide in the womb, we finally have some sanity coming. But Mike, as we think on that subject, I am noticing that there's a scream and cry from Bernie Sanders and Maxine Waters and Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to pack the Supreme Court, to abolish the court, or to pack. Can you imagine, Congressman, having a legislator screaming that we want to abolish one branch of federal government? Maxine Waters and Elizabeth Warren in particular saying we just need to abolish the courts, or just forget what the court's decisions were, and yet they rejoice every time a liberal decision is made with the courts in the past. But now they're saying just abolish the courts or pack the courts, and they want to codify murder. In fact, as we speak, they're trying to rush through legislation that will make it federally legal for abortion all the way through delivery. That's the rancorous attitude of those that are the Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party, that wanting to pack the courts or to abolish the courts or to simply codify by new laws to make it legal to murder a baby. And the Marxist, Socialist, Democrats are pushing to cancel the filibuster rule in order to do things like that. Take just a moment to explain to our listeners what would happen if there any such thing possible as packing the courts or to abolish the filibuster rule. What does that do, and what protection do we have with that, and how we should view it as citizens?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it is so obviously on display the hypocrites that those on the left actually are. Whenever the court comes down with a decision that they support, that fits their leftist agenda, they praise them. But when they come with a righteous decision, they go crazy and want to abolish the court. They want to pack the court, which means just putting more judges on the court who have their left-leaning ideology so that they don't have to be concerned about righteousness decisions being made anymore. So right now there are 9 Supreme Court justices. They're talking about putting as many as 15 on there and making them all left-leaning. And to be able to do that, they would have to abolish the debate on the filibuster debate, because that requires 60 senators to vote in order to move a judge forward. But if you abolish the filibuster, it would only require 50 plus one being the majority, which would be the Vice President Kamala Harris. So that's their whole agenda. Their agenda is to, first of all, not adhere to the Constitution, which is amazing, Dr. Youngblood, because they said an oath of office that they swore to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. They're screaming, get rid of the Supreme Court, ignore the Supreme Court, which defies their oath to support, protect, and defend the Constitution. There was a congressional statement that was made, placed in a statute in 1862, that says that if an elected official does not live up to their oath of office, if they refuse to abide by their oath of office, then they have committed perjury. Because as you know, Dr. Youngblood, they placed one hand on the Bible, their left hand, they raise their right hand, and they swear to tell the Almighty God that they will support that Constitution. And so when they do not, they have committed perjury, and that statute, congressional statute in 1862, says they should be removed from office and never allowed to hold any future offices. I wish we would have someone who would step forward and file a lawsuit to remove those who have perjured themselves in office.
Absolutely. That is so vital and so needed. And yet, other things other than just Roe versus Wade have been taking place, two of which, and one was just on the top of the hour news, where Joe Kennedy, Coach Kennedy, by 6-3 decision, I understand, Supreme Court just ruled in his favor. Explain Joe Kennedy, Coach Joe Kennedy's case to our listeners, and why that is so important, the decision, the opinion that the Supreme Court just ruled this morning in relationship to his case.
Yes, that was one of several fantastic decisions that were made last week by the Supreme Court, Dr. Youngblood. You know, it also last week they had a decision on schools, private schools, private religious schools,
yes,
being able to receive state funding. What a great victory that was. There was also a victory about gun laws, where they struck down the restrictive gun law in New York, which says you have to show a compelling reason why you should be able to carry a weapon. And then we have this decision about Coach Johnson, who at one time, after a football game, he will
That's
go to the 50-yard line.
Let me interrupt a minute, Coach. Joe Kennedy.
Joe Kennedy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, Joe Kennedy.
That's all right. No, go ahead.
This was out in Washington State. He was a coach on a high school team, and he will go out on the 50-yard line after a game and just silently pray and by himself. And then other students started joining him, and then other players from the other team and their coaches would join him until someone complained, some atheist complained, and then the school board and the superintendent made a decision to tell him to not do it. He decided he was not going to capitulate on his faith, and he continued to do it, and so they fired him. So he fought to get his job back, filed a lawsuit, and it has gone all the way to the Supreme Court and ruled just today. It came out saying that he does have the right to pray, that simply because he is employed by the school doesn't mean he can no longer have his religious faith or even express his religious faith. He was not forcing anyone to join him. He was not telling anyone to join him. He was simply expressing his own religious faith. And thank God this Supreme Court said you can do that here in America. They are these 6 conservative Supreme Court judges are following their oath of office and what the Constitution allows us to do, that it says that we have a right to our religion and that no law shall be made to infringe upon it. So what a joyous time we're living in right now, Dr. Youngblood. And I have to add this. It is 49 years since that awful decision of Roe v. Wade. And if you look at the Israeli years, 49 years is 7 times 7. That's a year of jubilee, and that's when all debts are to be released. That's when people are to be free. God chose 49 years to release this curse upon this nation.
Yes, marvelous, marvelous numerology when you analyze it like that. Absolutely. Let's take just a moment and do a little reverse engineering. What if the Supreme Court's opinion, what if their ruling was that Coach Joe Kennedy could not do what he was doing, that is, exercise his religious liberty of praying? What if they had ruled against him on that issue? What would that say to every Christian in America today? Where would that put the church? Where would that put Christians? Where would believers be in relationship to our liberties being restrained or destroyed?
It would have a very chilling effect, even more so than what we have already. It would send us to a state that would look similar to China.
Yes.
China right now is persecuting all religious worship there, not only Christians, but also the Falun Gong, they are being persecuted. Muslims are being persecuted. And the reason they do that is because they are communists. And what communism demands is that the highest authority is the state and not a god, because the god gives us your rights, which means that the state can't take it away from you. So communists, Marxists here in America, must usurp religion, must usurp a god that is higher than the authority of the state in order to remain in power. So what we would have seen, Dr. Youngblood, if they had ruled against Coach Kennedy, is a very chilling effect on religion, on the Christian faith in America. Because if you notice, Dr. Youngblood, they do not attack the Muslim faith anywhere near as much as they attack the Christian faith.
That's exactly right. And one of the things that we're finding that's taking place in relationship to that, and I've had a number of people down through the years say, well, why are you so passionate about the Bill of Rights from the Christian standpoint? Congressman, if we continue to eat away at the fundamental foundation of the Judeo-Christian values of America, we will have destroyed our foundation. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And so I am passionate about preserving our Bill of Rights and every aspect of it. That's one of the things that perhaps our listeners are not aware of. And may I remind our listeners that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you got a question for Congressman Hill or for me in relationship to our dialogue and discussion today, I'd love to hear from you. That's 831-0917. But Congressman, when we look at a Bill of Rights, and I'm looking at my pocket Constitution now that has the amendments in it, and our 10th Amendment is very, very clear. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it by the states, are reserved to the states respectfully to the people. So what they've done with the ruling made by the U.S. Supreme Court of the Roe versus Wade, or literally it was a case filed by the Planned Parenthood against Casey, Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Their ruling literally is not overruling a state's rights if a state wants to have abortion. So I am thankful that there is an allegiance to, and as you said, I'm thankful for the 6 conservative members of the Supreme Court and their allegiance to our Constitution and their oath that they've taken to uphold it. And they're simply saying that, and I'm wanting our listeners to understand it, the U.S. Supreme Court opinion on Roe versus Wade, simply saying that it was not constitutional to begin with. And as you said a moment ago, Congressman, you can't say that it's the woman's right of privacy, because you don't find that any place in the Constitution of saying that you can privately commit murder and it's a right. That is simply not there at all. But one of the things that I want us to talk about is that they're trying to, the federal government's wanting to federalize the elections. We've got election coming up the latter portion of this year in November. What would happen to America if the state rights in election are confiscated and amalgamated into a federal law? What would happen to our elections if that were to take place? And yet that's what they're attempting to do. And if they can do away with the filibuster rule, they can jam through the pack in the courts, the confiscation of weapons by new gun laws, and the federalizing of our elections across America. What would happen in America if the states do not have the rights over our election process?
Well, first of all, you would see widespread cheating, Dr. Youngblood. It would be even worse than what we saw in that 2020 election, which is well documented by Dinesh D'Souza's movie 2000 Mules, which is well documented by the audits that were performed in Arizona and in Michigan and in Pennsylvania, showing that widespread fraud took place. We have factual evidence of that. Those on the left, the Democrats, do not have the moral compass to know that you are not supposed to cheat when it comes time to an election. They think that the end justifies the means, and any method we can use to make sure that we win, we will do it, even if it includes cheating. And so that's what they would do on a wide-scaled basis if they were to have a federal law for elections. But they can't do that, Dr. Youngblood. As much as they wish they can, as much as they want to try, as you just read from the 10th Amendment, the powers that are not enumerated in the Constitution to the government belongs to the states and to the people. And there is nowhere in the Constitution where it says that the federal government can set election laws. In fact, the exact opposite is there, where it says that the states are to develop their own laws for elections. And that has been working well for us since our Constitution, where the states do develop their own laws, until the Democrats got in charge and then started doing all kinds of mayhem, as we had in the South over 50 years ago, the Jim Crow laws, which put in place, making it more difficult for Black Americans to vote. But that's been thrown out. It was overturned. America seems to have the position that when they get things wrong, eventually we fix it. And we saw that even more recently with overturning that horrendous decision of Roe v. Wade.
One of the things that I find fascinating, challenging, and yet very, very ominous is the fact that we have all of the major corporate entities. One article calls them the woke corporate America reacts to Roe versus Wade's reversal. And I have scanned through about a half a dozen articles to accumulate these names, but major woke corporations are now saying, you need an abortion, we'll pay for it. You need to travel out of state for murdering your baby, we'll pay for your travel expense. You need time off with pay to get an abortion, we'll pay for it. You've got it. Some of those corporate entities, Congressman Hill, Disney, Starbucks, Citigroup, banks, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Uber, Netflix, Levi Strauss, Warner Brothers Discovery, J.P. Morgan Chase, Nike, Dick's Sporting Goods, Kroger, Goldman Sachs, Zillow, and I could go on and on and on. How should we as conservative Christians respond to this in-your-face rejection of a Supreme Court ruling and willing to take their investors' money, and that's what it is, all of these are publicly held companies, to take their investors' money to pay for murder by way of abortion, for the travel, for the medical expenses, for the abortion process, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How should we view that as Christians? What should we do? What would be your position and your recommendation to our listeners?
Two things, Dr. Youngblood, and I'm so glad to hear you calling it murder, because that's exactly what it is murdering a child in the womb.
Yes.
And it's evil, and it's horrendous. And what we are seeing is that evil is gnashing its teeth at righteousness. And what they want to do instead is to continue this barbarous act, this satanic act of murdering these children. So how should we as Christians respond? First of all, don't shop with those companies.
Yes.
Now, I know that's easier said than done, particularly let's say you have an iPhone. That's an Apple product. Are you just going to throw away your phone and go get another one? You can go get a Galaxy or any other type of phone that is out there, but that is very cumbersome to have to do that. Or don't shop at Kroger. Well, that might be the closest store to you and the most convenient for you. But if the Christians, you are serious about it, no longer patronize these companies that want to do that. If you have to change bank accounts, you have to change phones, you have to shop somewhere else for your groceries, do that. And then secondly, we are seeing that these companies, their board of directors, are not performing their fiduciary responsibility, which is to maximize profits for their shareholders, those who are investing in their companies. Those board, we as Christians should demand that those board members be removed and replaced with someone who will uphold their fiduciary responsibility of trying to have maximize returns for that company.
Absolutely. And one of the things that in the latest article that I've read about Disney, since they became woke publicly and challenged the Florida law about teaching LGBTQ and the CRT in our public schools in the state of Florida, since they challenged that, and even to now when they have part of the woke corporate entity talking about paying for murder by way of abortion, their stock dropped 47%. 47%. That's a pretty good hit for an investor, for those that own Disney stock. Let's switch gears for just a moment. Look at an article that says, disturbing. Biden accidentally shows note card that instructs the president to do simple tasks such as take your seat. Joe Biden accidentally flashed a note card that listed several simple instructions among the elementary tasks the president was instructed. Take your seat. On Thursday, President Joe Biden was meeting with the industry leaders after skipping a meeting with oil executives. Biden accidentally exposed a cheat sheet that has been given to him step-by-step instructions given to the president. On top line, the note card read, the president, falling offshore wind drop-by sequence of events. There were 8 bullet points on the note card. One commanded the president, you enter the Roosevelt room. You say hello to the participants. The second instruction was for the president, you take your seat. Third instruction, you give brief comment, no more than 2 minutes. And another order to the 79-year-old president, you ask Liz Shuler, president of AFL-CIO, a question, and pointed out that Shuler was joining virtually. The final instruction directed President Joe Biden, you thank the participants, then you depart. Cameras caught the moment that Biden accidentally flashed the note card. How do we respond as citizens to recognize the total inability of Joe Biden, because of his cognitive disabilities, to run our nation? Is it dangerous? Is it not? Should we just laugh at it? Should we take it seriously? How should we respond as people that recognize the danger America's in with his inability? And what do you respond to about his instruction card?
Well, it really is a shame, Dr. Youngblood, and it's sad that we are in a situation like this. I would call it elder abuse. They know that Joe Biden does not have the cognitive ability to not only run this nation, but even to do simple instructions like that. You would have thought that they could have put the very first thing up there, think, And then hopefully he would follow that instruction, but he doesn't have that ability. And it's a shame, Dr. Youngblood. We as Christians should actually pray for him.
Yes.
Pray for his protection. We should pray. We can pray for his healing, that he gets his right mind back together again, because it really is a sad thing to see. And it's not a laughing matter. It really is a shame, and it lets us know that he is not running this nation, but someone else is running this nation instead.
That's the point, yes.
And we're seeing that it's coming from this international oligarchy that is made up of the Council on Foreign Relations, the World
yes.
Health Organization, all of these globalists who want to take America down. And it is intentional what we are seeing this administration doing by following their instructions, such as opening our borders, shutting down our energy independence, getting involved in these foreign wars unnecessarily, these food shortages and supply chain issues. These are all created intentionally by these globalists to hurt America. And we need to stand up as Christians, demand that we have someone in office who is going to instead follow their oath of office and not what globalists are telling them to do.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got about a minute and a half on the broadcast. I want you to take that full time. Tell our listeners how they can reach you, how they can jump on board and assist you in your candidacy and your campaign. Tell them how they can call you, contact you, and how they can contribute to your campaign.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I really appreciate that. I am a candidate for Florida State House District 1. We need to take that seat and put it in the hands of righteousness,
yes.
Someone who is going to follow their faith, virtue, and freedom when they are in office to make sure that the right decisions are made. I can be reached at MikeHillForFlorida.com. That's my website, MikeHillForFlorida.com. I can be called at 850-232-3909. Again, that's my direct cell number, 850-232-3909. And I would just remind your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, that I do need their help. It costs money to run a campaign just to get your message out. And any financial contribution that can be made, the maximum is $1,000, would be greatly appreciated. They can go to my website to make that contribution. That's at MikeHillForFlorida.com. And what I commit to your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, and all those who will vote for me, is that because of my faith, I am going to adhere to the oath of office, that I will support, protect, and defend the Constitution.
Amen.
Because when I make that oath, it is to the living God, and I fear him more than man, and I will stand up to that oath and make sure that I run my campaign that way, and once I'm in office, that's how I will present bills.
Hey, Congressman Hill, our time is totally gone. Thank you so much for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.